You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, May 16th. New analysis shows that Tillamook's drinking water rates need to more than double over the next 5 years to cover the water system's expenses and maintain an adequate reserve. The study's findings were discussed at a recent Tillamook City Council meeting. A consultant from the Rural Community Assistance Corporation nonprofit, Tricia Kent, recommended that the council work to educate the public on the factors driving the change as part of the update process. Currently, Tillamook's base water rate for residential customers is $15.04 for 1,000 gallons of water, with about $11 charged for every additional 1,000 gallons. Kent said that to achieve a positive cash flow by 2030, a 15% increase would be needed for the next fiscal year, followed by 18% increases in each of the next 4 years. Kent acknowledged that the proposed increases would put a strain on Tillamook ratepayers. Interim Tillamook City Manager Kevin Perkins recommended adjusting the water rates as part of adopting a new budget for the city in June. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Warrenton City Commissioners have decided to let voters decide on the city's water fluoridation in the upcoming November election. Warrenton currently adds fluoride as a supplement to its drinking water supply, even though it's not a state requirement. Last month, Public Works Director Kevin Gorman proposed an ordinance that would repeal a portion of the city's municipal code requiring fluoride supplementation. Because Warrenton sources its powdered fluoride exclusively from China, Gorman anticipates major cost increases due to recent tariffs imposed against China. Warrenton Mayor Henry Balancefer says the issue has gone from a matter of cost-cutting to public policy, as there are strong feelings on both sides. Many see water fluoridation as an important public health advancement proven to reduce cavities. Others have raised concerns over potential negative side effects. After a public hearing on the matter earlier this week, the Warrenton City Commission voted in favor of continuing to fluoridate the city's drinking water until November. At that point, voters will have the opportunity to cast a vote for or against the practice. The Seaside City Council has agreed to allow an affordable housing project near the old Seaside High School to move forward. The 69-unit Pacifica Apartments project is located on the roughly 2-acre North 40 property between North Holiday Drive and Highway 101. The land was given to the city in 2022 by Clatsop County as part of an effort to use surplus land for housing, childcare, or social services. But some neighboring property owners have objected to the development. Resident Linda Martin recently appealed the Seaside Planning Commission's decision to approve a highway overlay zone review for the project. A public hearing over the issue was held earlier this week, and the Seaside City Council unanimously upheld the Planning Commission's decision. These stories come to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Oregon's unemployment rate went up slightly in April, bringing the number to 4.7%. As KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports, April fits into a larger trend.
State unemployment has ticked up 0.1 percentage point each month of this year so far. 1,200 jobs were added last month, with the largest growth coming in the leisure and hospitality sector as businesses ramp up summer hiring. In a video release that accompanied the monthly report, state employment economist Gail Krumenauer said year-to-year job growth has been largely centered in one sector.
Over the past year, Oregon employers added 16,400 jobs, and private health care and social assistance alone added 14,700.
She said notable sectors for losses since last April were manufacturing, financial activities, and construction. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
Spring is baby animal season, but that can sometimes mean rescuing wildlife that doesn't need to be saved. NWPB's Lauren Patterson brings us tips from wildlife experts on when to rescue and when to leave animals alone.
The home of Palouse Wildlife Rescue and Rehabilitation in Moscow, Idaho, is a big red barn sitting on 12 acres of rolling green hills.
Ryan Law, who runs the rescue, is busy.
We get about 200 a year.
Most in the spring?
Yeah, no.
She has everything from porcupines to turtles and 17 bunnies. She walks to an enclosed pasture with tall grass and a lone Canada goose.
She's sitting out there behind that tree. You can see her back. And she fosters the baby geese.
If you come upon a gosling or a duckling by itself and you're worried it might be abandoned, watch it for a while.
Because sometimes mom's over here, just like children. They're not paying attention. All of a sudden mom's gone and they're like, oh man, but mom will look for them. She wants them with her.
If you wait for an hour and mom doesn't come back, try to look for a duck with ducklings nearby. If you see a mama duck with babies the same size, go ahead and toss the duckling right in with the others.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. She's like, oh, I don't know how many children I have. I'll take that one. Yeah. And they're so much better off there. They're so much better off in there with us. So drop them off.
Baby squirrels are often brought to animal rescues this time of year. People sometimes cut down trees before checking for squirrel nests, or the wind can blow babies out of a tree.
It's down. And somebody thinks, I gotta pick it up. Okay, the mother is someplace around and she'll pick it back up.
It's always good to observe and give mom a chance to pick up her baby squirrel. Over in Pullman, wildlife veterinarian Marcy Logsdon and her staff at Washington State University's Veterinary Teaching Hospital are already taking care of baby squirrels, ducklings, and baby owls. They're bracing for more animals to be rescued, even if they're fine.
Memorial Day is usually when we get our first fawn calls. And they're another one that moms oftentimes leave alone for hours at a time. And it's one of their survival mechanisms.
They're still a bit clumsy and slow.
And it can be very easy if you find one of these babies to not see mom and to worry that it might be abandoned when really she's just taking her time and is going to come back to home that evening.
Sometimes animal parents actually try to stay away from their babies so they don't draw attention to them, like cottontail rabbits. Moms only visit their babies twice a day.
It's really easy to see those babies and think that, oh my goodness, mom abandoned them, when really she's just waiting for a quiet, predator-free time to come back to the nest and feed.
Fledgling songbirds are another baby animal people often try to rescue. Even bigger birds like owls and hawks have a developmental stage where they aren't that great at flying yet.
Kind of like the first time that you were to get on a bike, it probably wasn't that pretty. They can very easily be mistaken for being injured when really mom and dad is still around, they're still taking care of it, they need to figure out how to fly.
There are telltale signs of animals who are actually injured. If you see an animal with blood, laying on their side panting, or covered in ticks and fleas, that's when to call your local wildlife veterinarian or wildlife rehabilitator, Logsdon says. Back at the Big Red Barn in Moscow, Law checks on a group of ducklings huddling under a heat lamp.
Populations are growing, and so we're pushing out places where animals could be. We have to learn how to coexist.
Sometimes that means letting nature be. Reporting in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lauren Patterson.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.